Greet you in the name of Jesus this evening, and it's a very wonderful thing to be here, and I just pray that the Holy Spirit hears our minister told us this morning at church that he was teaching a young person an instruction class, and they were talking about when the Holy Spirit comes, when it falls on a person, and he concluded that it's when we ask for it. And I suppose there's a measure of that's true, and we know that God's here, and we know that he is everywhere, but he comes when we ask, and he moves when we ask, and I pray that that would be the focus of our thoughts this evening in our hearts. So much of tonight is focused on the church, and the brothers as we gather together and worship together. And my mind was drawn to the revelation of Jesus Christ, and he says, in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot, and girt about the paps with a golden girdle on his head, and his hairs were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were as a flame of fire. And his feet like unto fine brass, as if they burned in a furnace, and his voice as the sound of many waters, and he had in his right hand seven stars, and out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword, and his countenance was as the sun shineth in his strength. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. And he laid his right hand upon me and said unto me, fear not, I am the first and the last. And one of the songs we sung, that all is well. And where Christ is, all is well. It's his church, it's not ours. I am he said to John, that liveth and was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and death and so on. And that's the reason tonight there's such a need for faithfulness, because earlier the Revelation writer says, and behold, all shall see him. And every eye shall see him, they also who pierced him, and all kindred of the earth shall wail because of him. So there's a need tonight to be faithful and to fulfill the callings that God has given us. And that's the title of my message tonight. It comes from Colossians chapter 4, verse 17. The title of the message tonight is, Take Heed That Thou Fulfill It. And you can turn there in your Bibles. I want to read that verse. And this little letter of Colossians was to the church there. And it's one of the letters that Paul says he wrote with his own hand. Apparently he had some letters where he wrote and other people wrote what they heard him say, but this one he said he wrote with his own hand. It seems like he loved this young man, Archippus, in verse 17. He's the same man that's mentioned over in the book of Philemon. And he's called a fellow soldier of Jesus, of Paul. And he must have been the kind of man, the kind of brother who Paul enjoyed having. And I see him writing here to this young man. And he's writing from prison, I understand. And he's writing to this church. He's writing to the brothers there, but he says to this young man or old man, I don't know what his age was. I guess it doesn't matter if he was young or old. Take heed to the ministry which thou hast received in the Lord, that thou fulfill it. Now I'd like to marry that with another scripture tonight. Over in the Old Testament of Zechariah, chapter 9. And I like to marry that thought, and I don't want to do spiritual adultery, because you can marry scriptures which are not compatible and come out with false doctrine, so I don't want to do that tonight. But and I know that the scripture that I want to read here in Zechariah 9 is a literal rendering and about the house of Israel and other things, other prophecies, and so I understand that. The context is a hope of Israel. And I understand that well. Last week, one of my friends sent me a blog from a certain gentleman, and he said that metaphors are not true. They are just a picture of that, and they need to be used correctly, and so I pray that I do not violate that tonight. But I like to read these scriptures, and there's one verse I would like to marry with Colossians 4:17. Where he says, that you be faithful, the ministry that God has called you to. And I know you think we're talking to bishops and preachers tonight, and I'll clear that in just a moment. That they'll be faithful in the ministry that God has called us to fulfill it. I'm going to begin reading in Zechariah chapter 9, verse 10. Verse 9 of this chapter is about the first coming of the Messiah. Verse 10 is about the second coming. And I will cut off the chariot from Ephraim and the horse from Jerusalem, and the battle bow shall be cut off, and he shall speak peace unto the heathen, and his dominion shall be from sea even to sea, and from the river even to the ends of the earth. As for thee also, by the blood of thy covenant, I have sent forth thy prisoners out of the pit wherein is no water. And here's the verse. Turn you to the stronghold, ye prisoners of hope. Today do I declare that I will render double unto thee. When I have bent Judah for me, filled with the bow with Ephraim, and raised up thy sons, O Zion, against thy sons, O Greece, and made thee as a sword of a mighty man, and the Lord shall be seen over them, and his ire shall go forth as the lightning, and the Lord God shall blow the trumpet, and shall go forth with whirlwinds of the south. The Lord of hosts shall defend them, and they shall devour, and subdue with sling stones, and they shall drink, and make a noise as though through wine, and they shall be filled like bowls, as the corners of the altar. And the Lord their God shall save them in that day as the flock of his people, for they shall be as the stones of a crown, lifted up as the ensign upon his land. For how great is his goodness, and how great is his beauty. Corn shall make the young men cheerful, and new wine the maids. Ask ye of the Lord rain in the time of the latter rain. So the Lord shall make bright clouds, and give them showers of rain to everyone grass in the field. For the idols have spoken vanity, and the diviners have seen a lie, and have told false dreams. They comfort in vain. Therefore went they their way as a flock. They were troubled because there was no shepherd. Mine anger was kindled against the shepherds, and I punished the goats, for the Lord of hosts has visited his flock, the house of Judah, and hath made them as his goodly horse in the battle. Out of him came forth the corner, out of him the nail, out of him the battle bow, out of him every oppressor together. And they shall be as mighty men which tread down their enemies in the mire of the streets in the battle. And they shall fight because the Lord is with them, and the riders of horses shall be confounded. And I will strengthen the house of Judah, and I will save the house of Joseph, and I will bring them again to place them. For I have mercy upon them, and they shall be as though I had not cast them off. For I am the Lord their God, and will hear them. And they of Ephraim shall be like a mighty man, then their heart shall rejoice as through wine. Yea, their children shall see it and be glad. Their heart shall rejoice in the Lord. I will hiss for them and gather them, for I have redeemed them, and they shall increase as they have increased. And I will sow them among the people, and they shall remember me in far countries, and shall live with their children and turn again. I will bring them again also out of the land of Egypt, and gather them out of Assyria, and I will bring them into the land of Gilead and Lebanon, and place shall not be found for them. And he shall pass through the sea with affliction, and shall smite the waves in the sea, and all the deeps of the river shall dry up, and the pride of Assyria shall be brought down, and the scepter of Egypt shall depart away. And I will strengthen them in the Lord, and they shall walk up and down in his name, saith the Lord. And so the context is the hope of Israel. In our verse that I want to look some at and think about tonight is, turn you to the stronghold, verse 12 of 9, ye prisoners of hope. Even today do I declare that I will render double unto thee. And so there's a certain sense tonight, a real sense tonight, where we are and must also be prisoners of hope. Prisoners of hope. If we are to fulfill the work that God has for us. And so I have a number of questions I'd like to answer tonight. How shall we fulfill it? O thou prisoner of hope, take heed unto the ministry which thou hast received of the Lord, that thou fulfill it. See, all hope is always needed for victory. Hope is always needed for victory. I don't understand this very much, but a gentleman told me a number of years ago that people who fall and find their way going wrong in emotional needs, that life is just like that moment between the time when you trip on the stone and begin to fall to the ground and the time that you hit. Because you don't know what's going to happen because there's no hope. But folks, in the Church of Jesus Christ, There's a certain sense where we are prisoners in that situation, and yet there's hope. Prisoners of hope in the stronghold of God. And if we are going to fulfill it, you see, if we are to fulfill it, hope is necessary. Fulfill, archaic, just means made full. But it means completed it. And every completion has a beginning, and every beginning has a fulfillment of some sort. I was talking to a bitter man recently. It was just flying out of his cistern. And we were talking about a certain situation. I said, you know, have you ever watched a person begin something? Or have you ever started something? And you began this work, you began this dream, you began something, and you got into it, and it just ramped up so high, and you just stopped. And you said, I guess I'll just go back home. And he looked at me and said, yeah, my whole life's like that. He was a prisoner, but not a prisoner of hope. He wasn't in the stronghold of God. And if we're going to bring something fulfillment, there must be a beginning, but there must be a completion. And Paul says to this young man, be mindful and take heed that what God has called you to in the ministry that God has called you to, that you finish it. And there's a certain sense where the whole Christian life has that pushback to push us back, that we get to that spot and we don't finish it. There's always a pushback to give in. We have that scripture, we're thinking about bishop office tonight, and that scripture says, he that desires the office, and I have no idea what that means. The further I go in life, the less I know and understand. But he that desires it, or he that agrees to it, and he that puts his heart into it, and he that begins it, must fulfill it. He must be a prisoner of hope in the stronghold of God. And if we do, he that puts his stronghold as a prisoner of hope in the hands of God, God says, I will render unto him double unto thee. Double. And so many times we must understand again that to be a prisoner of hope, we must remain a prisoner, because that's where we live in life, in the prison house of our flesh, and yet we have the spiritual hope in God. To bring it to an end, to convert to a vision to reality, that's the word, that's what fulfill means. To put in effect, to measure up, to bring it to an end, to make it full. The work tonight is not for the feeble. And hope vanishes only at completion. Unto completion. That's how we must fulfill. That's what we must do all of our life. And there's a certain sense where all of our life is little beginnings again, and each of them need a completion. Each of them need that. Turn you to the strongholds. Turn you to the stronghold, ye prisoner of hope. Even today do I declare that I will render double unto thee. Paul told Timothy, make full proof of thy ministry. Continue in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. And oh, there are so many millions in the world who have no idea what you have learned. And what I have learned and been assured of. And somehow we do not understand the depth of the prisoner that we are to the things that we have learned. And that is one of the reasons for apostasy, because we don't understand what God has committed to us and given to us. And we're prisoners of that hope. We cannot be careless or noncommittal to what God has given us. And Paul says to the young man, just like a mentor, take heed to the ministry that God has called you to, that you fulfill it. We've been studying the coming day of the Lord. You did that in Sunday school class this morning. And how many things will God say to Edwin? I gave you these things, And what have you done with them? A prisoner of hope. And the way is completion, to fulfill it. Take heed that thou fulfill them. Take heed to the ministry which thou hast received of the Lord, that you bring it to completion, you fill it up. And see, out here, those that I'm speaking to are many ministries. Many ministries are out here. Ministries to which God has called you. And what happens out here is what happens up here. And how this brother is going to fulfill this calling is first out here. I remember one time I was riding into town with the V in Honduras, and he was talking about how he wanted to come to the States and how wonderful it would be. I remember going in the main drag there at Socotepec, and I said, David and David, maybe God wants you to be a preacher, and maybe he wants you to be right here and be a preacher. And he looked at me like crazy. And some of you are out there looking at me like crazy. Out here is the ministry that comes here. See? We don't think about that, but it's so true. See, I believe, like Brother Aaron taught, that the book of Ecclesiastes is a divine record of how man sees things under the sun. You have that verse there. It says, I returned and I saw under the sun that the race is not to the swift, nor the battle to the strong, neither yet bread to the wise, nor yet riches to the man of understanding, nor yet favor to men of skill, but time and just chance happens to them all. And it's just everything's just hit or miss. That's the way man sees it under the sun. It's a divine record of how that man saw it. No. God moderates the times and the circumstances, and we choose if we fulfill it. And that's why Paul said to this young man, take heed that you fulfill it. We will choose if we fulfill it. And of course, God does it His way. And yet there's a very real way that the fulfillment of His way stands on our shoulders. And it is not he who begins, but he who finishes. He who fulfills it. You know that story Jesus said, the one man said, I'll go. But he didn't go. And then the other man said, well, but then he decided, yeah, I'll go. I'll do it. I changed his mind and went. Take heed to the ministry which thou hast received, Paul says to the young man, in the Lord, or received of the Lord, that thou fulfill it. And turn you to the stronghold, ye prisoners of hope. And even today I declare that I will render double unto you. So, how shall we fulfill it? We will fulfill it unto completion. When it's complete, when the battle's over, when the hope becomes reality. And then all along, there's a need to fulfill it. Number two, be all you can by all. Fulfill it by all you can do. In Matthew chapter 25, you know the story. Jesus told this story and people use it for banking. I don't agree with that. I don't think that's what Jesus was talking about at all. He's talking something much bigger than banking. Matthew 25 story of the parables of the talents. Because the banking is just one little part of the gifts that God has given us. It's just one little aspect. And he says in chapter 25, verse 29, for unto everyone that hath shall be given, and he shall have abundance, but for him that hath shall not be taken away, even that which he hath. Brother Harry on Friday night at the ordination talked about God choosing busy men. I think it's just Jesus' way of saying it. That the more a man has learned the discipline of his life, the more a man has already learned the discipline of his life, the more work that he's applying himself to, the Lord just lays more on. the way it works. And it's not so important about what his position is or whether it's a position or whether it's just important that he's disciplined his life to work. And Luke chapter 18 is the companion. And so things about life talents and all the things of the Lord and all his work. And that we would take heed to the ministry which we have received of the Lord, whatever it is, that we fulfill it. And that we turn to the stronghold of God, and that we receive as a prisoner of hope from the Lord. You know that story Jesus told about the different ground? Fruitful and unfruitful ground. The difference between the... Well, there wasn't a difference. Yeah, there was a difference. The ground that had thorns and the ground that had a hundredfold, you agriculture men, you men that plant corn, you know that the ground where the thistles crowded out, mares tells it is today, because you can't hardly give those things, and the ground that has 100, 200 bushel, it's all the same ground. But he says the ground where the mares tails grew up and you didn't get them controlled, it's not unto perfection. Now, you men that run those John Deere combines and whatever you're out there running, you know what a shriveled grain is? That's what Jesus said. He said, where the mare's tails are, you get shriveled grains. And shriveled grains will not sprout and grow. See, Paul was concerned, and, well, I don't know if he was concerned as much. He just knew that there's always a pushback. And he said, that I encourage you to fulfill it. I wonder, I think I'm right about this. Brother Arrow, you're a prophecy man. But it must seem like in the restoration of all things, there will be no pushback in the new heaven and the new earth, see? And Paul knew that there was pushback. Nothing under perfection, Jesus said, where the mare's tails were. Nothing under life, only shriveled grains. Take heed to the ministry, whatever God has given you. And those little children sitting by your side. The ministry which thou hast received of the Lord, that thou fulfill it. And turn to the strongholds and accept that we are prisoners of hope. And we be not like those who are between tripping and hitting. Although in the physical sense, there's a certain sense where it is like that. But we have hope. And where there's hope, you can make it. Always remember that. Where there's hope, you can make it. And where there's no hope, it's a terrible day. So be all you can be. Do you know there's a difference between what you can do and what you will do? And that's my next point. We must be all you will do. And there's a big difference. A wise businessman told me one time when I was working for him, he said, when you go to the counter, you don't you say to people, how can I help you? You say to them, how may I help you? That's different. That's very different. What I can do and what I will do are two different things. And what he will let me do or leave me do or allow me to do is two different things too. So my next point is, if we are going to bring it unto completion, we must do all that we will do. Turn with me to 2 chapter, Timothy chapter 2. All that we will do. And there are certain things that we can do, but then there are things that we will do. Those are not the same. They have many crossover points. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. That thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangling himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. And if a man also strive for mastery, yet he is not crowned except he competes. The husband that laboreth must first be partaker of the fruits. Consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things. Remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised up from the dead, according to my gospel. And he goes on and talks about his ministry there. See, what will you do to be a good soldier? No man that warreth entangleth himself. This man who wants to fulfill this work and is called to fulfill this work may not be entangled. I remember being a young man who was close to me, and I stood at his ordination. Since he was a close kin of mine, I thought it would be okay if I would share with him some support and counsel and encourage him and give him some advice. And God had taught me a few things in life at that point. Not nearly all of it yet. But I knew this young man had already more than he could physically do. I knew that he had already maxed out his margins. I knew that he had already done. I knew that the farm, I knew that all of it was already maxed out. I knew that the margins of his life were full with that. And I knew he believed in hard work, and I likewise, but I felt I needed to give him counsel. So I gave him this verse. I said, something is going to have to change. You are going to have to give up. If you are going to be a good soldier, if you're going to be a good minister, if you are going to fulfill the work which God is calling you to do, you're going to have to trade something out, brother. But as I watched his life, he did the opposite. He did what most people do. He increased that he greased the wheel, so he thought that he could do both. I disagree with that concept. Yes, the point is this man must do all that he will do. And yes, this changes with life and age and with family events. But the core never changes. This man and whatever this ministry that you have out here, it must trump all else, and it must continually float to the top. And it must continually be the core value of your life. See, there are two models for life. The one I just gave you. You grease the wheel. You grease the wheel so you can do both. That's one model. The other model is to just keep doing less of that which is not the important or the ministry which God has called you. The other model is just to keep doing less of that and more of the ministry to which God has called you, whatever it is out here. Less embroidery work, less quilt work for the ministry of your children. Now I did that for the ladies. You just fill in your own blank there. Less of that and more of the ministry, and take heed. And the stronghold of which God, and the prisoner of hope, and he will give unto you double. And he says in Matthew, he that's a busy man, I'll give him more. But more of that and less of that. I have finished my course. I have fought the fight. That keeps mean. What that means is keep evaluating the important and deleting the lesser. It's all of our life must be a sorting and a choosing. And that is so opposite of the American dream. And Jesus said, what we keep, we lose. I'm going to quote Brother Duane. And he had this question that I know he's wrestling with. Why are there not more 50-year-olds for service? Why are there not more 50-year-old married men whose children have grown and they're available for service? Why? Is it because the younger generation are not intellectually and capable of doing it? 1,000 times no. 1,000 times no. All of us dads sit here and know, we know full well that they can go out, they can get up earlier, they can work later, and they can do it all, and they can make it go where we... The problem is, that is what we feed. We grease the wrong wheel. And my brothers and sisters, let's grease the steering wheel. Let's grease the stronghold of the prisons of hope. And let's take heed to the ministry which God has. We're living in a dangerous society, we are. Take heed to the thing which you have received of the Lord that thou fulfill it. Well, you say, I just started this business and the Lord just blessed it. Why didn't it happen another way? Well, squeeze the steering wheel, Lord Jesus Christ. Number three, we need to complete this, fulfill it with all carefulness. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15. But if I tarry long, Paul says, that you may know how to, you ought to behave in the house of God. Very seldom do we tell adults to behave. We tell children to behave, but it just simply means the manner and conduct of life. And Paul says, behave in the church. Behave in the house of God. It's a posture. It's a heart posture. And I think we just do well and need to understand one of the simplest things of life. That what vibrates here or comes loose here, out there in our families, vibrates 50 times worse. It just does. It's the same principle of how business life flourishes. That's just the other side of it. A man's a good man, and it just vibrates bigger yet over there. It just gets bigger yet financially. It's just the same concept. Well, when there's troubles, or where there's uncarefulness or carelessness here, it just spreads out into the families and the churches. And a bishop must be very, he must learn that again and again and again. See, I remember, and this man, as he behaves in the house of God, he will work with those with experience. I remember on my high school report card, there was a line that said something like this: works well with others. And either it got checked or it didn't get checked. I'm probably overreacting a little, but it's so important that we work with others. And we influence each other, but we don't just go in and change the whole boat. One can go fast, two can go far. Or three or more. And a man that's going to move and complete and fulfill the calling of which God calls him is going to need to sense the need to ask advice. See, I know this sounds ignorant to you, but I had needed to call Duane tonight and say, is the service at 7 or 7:30? And he just answered me something like, well, a bishop ought to certainly know that all nomination services start at 7. Well, now I won't forget that one, but I needed the advice and the counsel, and we need the advice and the counsel of others. The last time I came home from Bangladesh, I sit in that 777 all the way from Istanbul to Dulles. And there was a niggling thing in my mind. What would happen if I pulled the exit row switch on a 777 at 40,000 feet? I didn't know the answer. I still don't. But I think if I went to the aviation experts, they could give me some idea what would happen. See, what I'm saying is, if we are going to fulfill, we ask each other. You need to ask some of the old men, I guess. If we're going to fulfill it and bring it into completion, if we're going to do Paul's thing, if as prisoners of hope, sure, men who are in leadership and oversight, they must start out here. But then there are very many practical areas of life you just really don't know. What happens if you pull that switch? If you pull that lever, what would happen? And, you know, there are men that could tell you what it would be. a need to ask advice with all carefulness, and that thou behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and the ground of truth. All things are lawful for me. Paul said this verse twice. All things are lawful for unto me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. And then he says, second, almost the same. All things are lawful for me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but all things edify not. And many things are lawful, and many things are good, and many things are fine. But as we sort out and continue to sort out, and that which is the most important, some things as lawful as they are fall by the way. As prisoners of hope. And this all must be done with some kind of vision. I remember Brother Duane gave the advice out in our district a number of years ago about this man, this overseer, and the tremendous responsibility that he must be viewing the bigger picture, the one that lays out. And I knew that pallet up front would tell me not to pull that switch. I knew that he didn't want me to do that. I knew that he was looking out there. And then I even knew that he was not operating alone. He was not doing his own thing. See, you can't pull us. I didn't go to aviation school, but I'm smart enough that you can't pull an aviation. You can't pull a 777 out on the wrong one runway strip because someone over in the control tower will be calling you down. They will stop that plane. They will stop that thing. Someone else out there. So even in all the responsibility of 300 passengers in that huge jet, he even then, with his larger picture, is even under a larger picture yet. And so this man tonight that's in your mind, and often he must act alone in some way because he doesn't call everybody. God holds him responsible and he has to make judgment calls. But most of the time, he does that as he works with others, with all carefulness. And Paul says, if I don't come right away, make sure you behave yourself in the house of God. Because he that does not behave himself in the house of God, and the rivet comes loose here, the whole sheet comes loose out there somewhere. And then, how else will we fulfill it? By those who come behind us. We already talked about this. There's always a coming generation. And he says here in Timothy 2, he says, that the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, saying, commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others. And the church and the beauty of the congregational life of which we've learned to enjoy and have found so helpful in our Christian life, it's more than just this generation. All of us are responsible for a number of generations. And an overseer of the church must know which way the winds are blowing. He must know which way the winds are blowing. And you will find a wise man. I've tried to watch older men and wise men, and sometimes I thought they were inconsistent. They weren't inconsistent at all. What they saw was the winds and the fads of the church. One time it's blowing towards legalism, and one time it's blowing towards liberty. And one time it's coming in both windows. And so if you're following it, you might think, well, they're not being consistent in their teaching. The truth is, a wise man will know which way it's blowing. You carpenters know that. If you put up a wall and I start to push it over on that side, you're going to have to go over and prop it on the other side. And then if I go on that side and start to push, you'll need prop the other side. And someone will watch you and say, he's pretty inconsistent. One time he props to one side, and the other time he props the other side. I watched that in Brother Aaron. And there was a man who told me that every congregation, every church will either go this way or that way. It'll either go into the ditch of hypocrisy and formality, or else it'll go into the ditch of. And he said that every church is going to happen sometime. And I guess I'm willing to agree with him on it. So up we go to this road with hell on either side. May I say that? Hell on either side, hypocrisy. And I'm not saying at all. Yeah. But the longer that lasts depends on this man who behaves himself in the house of God. And much of that lies on his shoulders. And as he works together, I am very confident tonight that we can stay on the narrow way between those two hells. But the bishops are still growing up out here. Out here in your ministries, the bishops are growing up right now. And oh, how we need the families who grow up bishops. And the sinner young man, that you grip the realities and the perspectives of eternal importance, the longer that man will be wrong. I think of the life of Saul. When you study that, it's a whole message about Saul. And I've often wondered, why did God choose Saul when he was from the tribe of Benjamin? He wasn't even from the right tribe. Well, if you study the genealogies, a number of generations had to come in yet until the 10th generation because of David's ancestry. It had to be the 10th generation. You can find this in Ruth. 10 generations. There had to be 10 generations before David could come in as a king from Judah. My point is this. There's a sense where Saul is just a fill-in. Now, that might strike fear in your heart, and yet God is God and who he is. And he had promised Saul, faith, if you are faithful, I will make you king. I have no idea how God was going to do that when it had to be from the tribe of Judah. That's not even my point tonight. The point is, he that runs to the stronghold of God, and he that is a prisoner of hope, and he that is faithful and completes it to the end, I don't know how God's going to work it out. But you won't end up being a fill-in. And it just seems like Saul was a fill-in for a certain amount of time. I don't know how God would have done it. And yet Saul failed. And so the challenge I put on our shoulders tonight is the same challenge that Paul gave his young friend and he mentored him from prison. He said, take heed to the ministry of which you have been called. And this statement is not about this young man, that needs to be ordained here. The statement is about you. About all of us. The sovereign picture grows beyond our ability to grip. But God will not fail. And if we choose, yes, even in our mistakes, God will fulfill it through us. God will not fail, but we may. Take heed to the ministry which thou hast received of the Lord, that thou fulfill it. And turn ye to the stronghold of God, ye prisoners of hope. Even today do I declare it, that I will render double unto you. Well, why should we fulfill it? Because there is a big picture and there is a little picture. There's a big picture and a little picture. And there's a certain sense where we have to keep both of those in mind. Because we do live. Twenty-nine scriptures where it says, for the day of the Lord. The day of the Lord comes. 29 scriptures. Most of them from the Old Scriptures, the Old Testament. For the day is near, even the day of the Lord is near, a cloudy day. It shall be the time of the heathen. Alas, for the day of the Lord is at hand, and as destruction from the Almighty shall it come. Blow ye the trumpet in Zion, and sound an alarm in my holy mountain. Let the inhabitants of all the land tremble for the day of the Lord, for it is nigh at hand. Multitudes, multitudes in the valley of decision, for the day of the Lord is near. Had a discussion with a man this morning, and he was very spiritual young man. We were just discussing. He said, "Well, Edmund, you got to remember that, you know, be careful with this thought that the world is worse than it ever is. You know, in the Roman Empire, and there's always been wickedness, and now it's just the media opens it up more. And there's a certain sense with that, but that the truth of the matter is." Whether that's true or not true, we're at least one day closer. We're at least one day closer. And we agreed, as we talked about it, that even begin to think and put much time and energy in is, was there ever a worse day, is probably the first step to complacency. Because at least we're one day near. And that is a reason this evening that we should take heed to the ministry and complete it and fulfill it. And that we should decide to choose the more important. Do you think Noah grilled barbecue for his sons and his family while he was building that boat? What do you think? I think he did. Probably. Paul writes to one, and he says, Timothy, I think, and he says, but no one emphasizes the lesser. And he says there's some profitability in barbecues, but no one emphasizes the lesser. You're out of business tomorrow. Yes. I was using a metaphor. You are correct. Okay, well, toss salad then. Thank you, Brother Steve. It's not about barbecue, it's a concept. Okay, you are absolutely right. Thank you. The point is this. As you think about Noah building that boat, as the day got closer and as he closer and closer completed that boat, and he knew the day of the Lord was at hand, I think the toss salad took less and less emphasis, though he may have been having toss salad. He may have, probably did have some toss salad. He probably liked French on it. But I'm thinking about Paul's advice to Timothy, and he says, there's a little profit in toss salad. But there's a huge difference between what we can do and what we will do. As we watch life, and no one who is wise in business greases the wheel of unprofitability. Take heed to the ministry which thou hast received of the Lord, that thou fulfill it. And turn you to the stronghold of God, ye prisoners of hope. And even today, I declare that I will render double unto thee. For I am now ready to be offered, Paul says, and the time of my departure is at hand. And I've fought a good fight, and I've finished my course, and I've kept the faith. And therefore is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, as a righteous judge, shall give me in that day. And not only to me, but to you. Now I'll paraphrase that. All to those who love his appearing. And there are eternal perspectives, and there are worldly perspectives. God has neither. I am that I am. God doesn't have a past. God doesn't have a future. God is just I am. Perspectives is the way you see it. Perspective is the way I see it. You're looking, I don't know if you're looking east or west, probably west. And I'm looking the opposite way. That's perspectives. But God doesn't have a perspective. I am. He has no past and he has no future. And he's watching, and his eyes are always open. And I believe that God is saying the same that Paul said. Take heed to the ministry of which I have given you, and see that you fulfill it, and you bring it to completion. And this is, that our grains are not shriveled. And as prisoners of hope, he says to us the same as he says to Israel, I will render unto you double. May God bless you.